Good morning. Hey, I did get it. Good. Hey, 2 weeks in, and I'm already falling in love with you guys. Love the service so far this morning. Thank you, Matt, for leading the church in the prayer for the kids and the school teachers, and Ryan for the reminder as you prayed for them that we are sending them out. We are all sent ones. We've all been sent. The Great Commission is a sending command from our great God and Father, and great reminder. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in worship this morning. Some of the songs and some of the comments that I've made this morning, it's just like God is at work and tying all this stuff together. So thankful for what He's done and what He's doing. Thankful for Osage Baptist Church. Thank you for your past and what God is going to do over the next several weeks here. As you guys look for the next man of God to lead you into the future, and pray, I'm excited for the future. I look forward to seeing what God does here. Somebody told me early on, "This is a family church." I see it and I feel it even today. And of course, the fellowship after church last week with all that barbecue that near and dear to my heart. So thank you guys for all that, and thank you for putting on the name tags today. And next week, because there's 100 of y'all, and there's one of me, and trying to get these names and tying everybody together. This is a great tool. So thank you guys for doing that today and in the near future. I will try my best to get names, but I will forget them, and I will say things that I don't mean to say sometimes. I think I called y'all Ozark Baptist Church last week. Sorry about that. We'll get that straight. We'll try to stick with Osage, but it's an absolute joy and a privilege to be with you guys during this time of transition. It is my hope and prayer that over the next few weeks that God will continue to just calm and remind you guys that He is sovereign over all. Everything is good. God is on the throne. He is working. You may not have that visible under shepherd right now, but we do have the great shepherd. Amen. And He is leading your leaders and guiding them. Pray for your search committee. I think we're meeting after church this morning to kind of go get some things started. But pray for them. Pray for God's Spirit to rest on them, that He would give them direction and guidance and wisdom as they work through this process. Pray for your deacons and your leaders as they have taken up the reins of some of the responsibilities here at the church. And I can already see y'all not going to slow down one bit. Y'all going to keep rolling and keep doing what God's called you to do, and that's exciting to see. But keep those folks in prayer, and we look forward to seeing what God does. It's already been said. The theme, or the purpose, or the goal this morning is to remind us of the mission of the church. Why we're here. Why we are here. Individually as a church, but also as churches, what is God's purpose for the church? I was reading a story not too long ago about two aid workers back in 2011 who were captured by pirates as they were trying to remove landmines in northern Somalia. There was an American named Jessica Buchanan and a Danish guy named Paul Thisted who were trying to remove these landmines in northern Somalia to protect and keep safe those who lived in the area. And as they were doing so, nine Somali pirates captured them and held them for ransom. There were somewhere between 9 and 12 pirates that took them to a walled-off compound in a remote area in northern Somalia. These terrorists, they tried to negotiate with the terrorists after a couple of months, offers of $1.5 million ransom and different elders and religious leaders seeking their release. It got nowhere. The negotiations got nowhere. After about 4 months, word got out that Paul had his health was getting worse. He was getting sicker and sicker, declining health, and we decided it was time for action. And then on the night of January 25th, 2012, the best of the best, SEAL Team 6, were given the mission of rescuing the captives. The SEALs parachuted into enemy territory and made their way to the compound on foot. As they assaulted the compound, the pirates began to return fire. The intense fighting was over almost as quickly and clearly as it started, leaving 9 pirates dead, 3 captured, the 2 hostages rescued, freed, and brought home to start their new lives. There was a lot of rejoicing in Somalia that night. A lot of rejoicing in Denmark, and here in the United States, President Barack Obama had the privilege of calling Jessica's dad and saying, "Your daughter's safe. She's okay. She has been rescued." This was a successful mission. So much went into that seemingly short operation that you may or may not have ever heard about. Months and years of training for the Navy SEALs to prepare them for whatever they might encounter in that rescue mission. Days and weeks of planning for the actual mission itself, tens of thousands of dollars that were spent to rescue these 2 precious lives. Incredible act of bravery, self-sacrifice, careful planning, channeling of resources, and tactical precision. All went into rescuing these two precious souls. When I think about the purpose of the church, excuse me, I'm reminded by the fact that we are on a mission. We can liken ourselves, and this is kind of cool, to spiritual Navy SEALs. That's how I want us to think about ourselves. We are those spiritual Navy SEALs. We're on a mission just like those Navy SEALs. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, we are reminded of the fact that we as believers have all been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Spiritually, each one of us resided, lived in, were under captivity to the enemy, lost in our sins. Amen? That's who we were before. Somebody took the gospel to us, went behind enemy lines, and rescued us by sharing to us the good news of Jesus Christ. We have been taken out of that when we got saved, out of that domain of darkness, and transferred into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Redeemed, a rescue for sinners, as we sang even just a little bit ago. We have been rescued. Someone went behind those enemy lines, shared the gospel with us, brought us freedom, forgiveness of sins, a new life. And that's the purpose of the church, is to go behind enemy lines, share the good news of Jesus Christ, and help bring people out of darkness, out of death, we have deserved because of our sin and our rebellion against God, and share with them the good news, give them new life and hope, and bring them into the kingdom of the God He loves, of the Son He loves. We are here to continue the work of Jesus, the work of God, in bringing people into His kingdom. The word for mission, the word missionary, or the word for mission, is defined as, here's a mission, an important assignment carried out for political, religious, military, or commercial purposes, typically involving travel, it on which someone is sent. So we think in terms of the SEAL Team 6. There was a need. They were sent by the United States government to go behind enemy lines, rescue those, and bring them out. That was an important assignment that they were given. This morning we're going to take a few minutes and kind of do a quick run through the scriptures, thinking about and talking about the missionary nature of God, or the sending nature of God. And by implication of that, if He's the sender, who are we? We're the sent ones. We are those who are being sent out. And we're going to run through some Old Testament and some New Testament passages to look at this. Let's begin at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created humans, Adam and Eve. In the beginning, there was great harmony between God and mankind. He walked with them in the garden every day. He had fellowship, intimacy, right relationship. He told them as His creation, one thing to stay away from, right? the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of it. And you guys know the rest of the story. Satan came in, tempted them. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed God. And they broke that perfect loving relationship that they had in the beginning. That's what they had was heaven on earth. What we long for is heaven on earth, a right relationship with God and a right relationship with the world that He created. When sin entered the world, we broke that. We broke that because we walked the other way. That's what sin is, right? It's walking away from God, disobeying God. We walked away from Him. We broke that perfect loving relationship. Sin entered the world. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God. People long for good and look for good, right relationships, because that's what we were created for. We sin, and as a result of our sin, we are separated from God. Man sins, is separated, we lose that, they lost that intimate relationship. And then God comes to pronounce judgment in the Garden of Eden. Even in that judgment, even from the very beginning, as mankind has turned his back on God and walked the other way, God offers hope. You have your Bibles turned to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. God is pronouncing judgment on people for their sin, for turning away from Him. This is what death looks like. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the wild beasts and all the living creatures of the field. On your belly you will crawl, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put hostility between you and the woman." Anybody have any hostility towards snakes? There's a reason for it right here, right? "I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. Her offspring will attack your head, and you will attack her offspring's heel." Theologians call this verse 15, the proto-evangelium, the pre-gospel, where God promises to send someone, although he might get bit in the heel, he might be injured, he might suffer for a season, he will ultimately crush Satan's head. We know who that is, right? That's the pre-evangelism, God promising to take care of this rift between God and people because of Satan's influence. God creates people, mankind, humans, in His own image, to love and to bless and to have relationship. Man comes in and severs that relationship through sin, turning his back on God and walking the other way. So what does God do? Even from the beginning, He starts going after man. He starts pursuing them. We are His creation. He wants people in right relationship with Him. Amen? That was his plan at the beginning. He is not going to let Satan and Satan's schemes keep him from getting what he wants. Can I put it that way? He is going to pursue. He goes after people because he loves people. He's concerned about people, and he sees people and they're lost and dead to him state and wants to redeem them and buy them back and pay for their sins and create that relationship that he created them for, even from the very beginning. Throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament, we see it over and over again. Mankind, people going down the wrong path and making a mess out of life. Hadn't quit, has it? It still goes that way. People get in their head this and that, and we go our own way. We want this. We're looking for something. We're seeking it. We're looking for it in all the wrong places. We're finding stuff, and we're turning our lives up absolutely upside down, backwards. We're pursuing goodness and grace and hope and love and something, and we're looking for it. And all. God is continuing to pursue us, though. Even though we're going our own way and going the wrong direction, God continues to pursue. And how does He pursue? How does God pursue? He does so by sending people, by sending His angel, by sending supernatural beings, but most of the time it's through sending normal, real-life, everyday people. When Sodom and Gomorrah got so depraved, He sent angels to destroy the city. When there was famine in the land in Israel, God providentially sends Joseph to Egypt to save the nation. Genesis 45, 5. Joseph says to his brothers after he reveals himself, after they have come to try to get food to preserve their life, Joseph says, God sent me here. God providentially sent me here to preserve your life. God was 10 steps ahead of us, right? In sending, you know, years ahead of us in sending Joseph there so that he could protect the life and bring the people back into right relationship with him. Exodus chapter 2 and 3, 400 years later, the people of Israel are crying out to God. They're held captive in the land of Egypt. And God says three different times in Exodus chapters 2 and 3, I have seen the oppression of my people. I have heard their cries. I have come down. I'm coming to take care of it. Moses, go. I'm sending you, Moses, to free my people. I've come down. I've heard their cries. I know their needs. I'm hearing, you know, the mess that they're in right now. I'm going to bring them out of that mess. And how does he do so? By sending Moses. Moses, you know, you remember Moses' response. I can't talk. I don't know what to do. Who do I say? What do I say? What authority do I have to do this? He said, tell them that the I Am sent you. Tell them Yahweh sent you. And Moses goes and leads the people out. Later, God sends judges. He sends prophets. He sends Elijah and Elisha, Samuel, even kings. As the people continually have this track record of moving away from God and going back into their sin and their selfishness, what does God do? He continues to send prophets, send kings, send leaders to help bring the people back from this straying away from him, this life of sin. Sends people to bring them back, to preach judgment, to preach God's wrath coming, to foretell what he's going to do if they don't get right with God, all of the above. You guys know Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. God asks who he can send to preach and prophesy of his coming judgment. What does Isaiah say? He says, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And what does Isaiah say? Here I am. Send me. I'll go. I will preach and I will share with them so that they will turn from their sin and turn back to you. One of my favorite passages in Isaiah, and if you turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Isaiah is saying God's Spirit is filling me because the Lord has anointed me to do this. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound or those who are in captivity. To proclaim, he has sent me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Isaiah said, God has sent me. He has sent me to do all these things. What's really cool about that passage is that's the passage that Jesus read in Luke chapter 4. Turn over to Luke chapter 4 real quick. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus went to church, y'all. Let me just remind you that he felt it important to go to church, right? If it was important enough for Jesus, who do we think we are thinking we can skip it? I'm just saying. All right, and he stood up and read verse 17, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus said, "That's me." Isaiah did it in one sense, but I have come to ultimately to release the captives, to bring sight to the blind, to free the oppressed, and to bring God's favor on his people, bringing people, the poor, the captive, the blind, and the oppressed, because of their sin and their self and their separateness from God, back into right relationship with the Father by giving them freedom from the guilt of their sin, by giving them sight, light, forgiveness, and the bounties of heaven. Jesus was sent for such a purpose, to help bring people who are separated from God back into right relationship, people who are under the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God. That was his purpose in coming. That's what he is saying here. Of course, nearly all the New Testament is about sending or being sent. John, in particular, talks about it regularly. You guys have known the verses from grade school. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, so that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life." God sent Jesus to save people from their sin. Their sin had separated them from God. Their sin had brought damnation on them. They were destined to go to hell, yet God sent Jesus to die for their sins. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, we read that in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus came in the flesh. The Word of God came in the flesh and lived among people. Jesus said that he was sent not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Three times Jesus said he came not to do his own will, but the will of the one who sent him. Four times he said that he came not to speak his own words, but the words of the one who sent him. Jesus was sent for a reason and under command. He was sent on a mission, just like those Navy SEALs were sent on a mission to accomplish a task of providing a way for people who are separated from God to come into right relationship with him. We are those recipients. Jesus was sent for that purpose. But not only was he sent for that purpose, he also handed the reins to us. He passed the torch to us. He gave us the mission that he was tasked with. In John chapter 14, verse 15, he promises to send the Holy Spirit to comfort and lead us and to empower us. In his prayer for believers in John 17:18, Jesus said that as the Father sent him into the world, he is sending his followers into the world. John 20, verse 21 through 23, Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so," help me out, "so send I you." What I've been sent to do, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm sending you. Carry on the mission that I have been sent for. And then what does he do? He breathes on them the Holy Spirit, gives them the Holy Spirit to accomplish the task, the power, the wisdom, the Spirit of God himself indwelling us to continue the task that we've been called to do. And that is what? Help bring people who are far from God, who are separated from God because of their sin, back into right relationship with him by sharing with them the gospel, the good news that God loves them and died for them. The rest of the New Testament follows the life and the ministry of the apostles, the sent ones, going and proclaiming the good news that God loves them and has provided a way to forgive them and restore and make right relationship with the Father, to be all that we were created originally for. Peter and Paul and Philip and John and Mark and Luke and Epaphroditus and all the others on and on, taking the mission that God had sent Jesus to do and bringing it into fruition, continuing it on. Summary of the New Testament: the Father sends the Son into the world, the Son sends His followers into the world, the Holy Spirit is sent to enable the followers to do His work, to be on mission with Him. I don't have to remind you, you can turn the news on any evening, you can go onto the internet and look up what's happening in the world. The world is messed up, y'all. The lives of our neighbors, the lives of the kids that we go to school with, the lives of the folks that we work with in our workplaces. Those who don't know Christ, they're searching for something. They're trying to figure it out. They're longing for a right relationship with God. That's what they were created for. Yet because of their sin, because of the captivity to the enemy who has blinded their eyes and hearts, he has them captive. Because of all that, they can't find it. Our job, the mission with which we have been sent, is to go to them and share with them the gospel, the good news that God loves them and will forgive them if they will turn from their sin and turn to Him. Jesus wants to fix people. And so He sent people, God sent people, then Jesus, then the people of Jesus with the Holy Spirit right where you are. Right? Right where you are. Right now. We're a sent people. A people on an important mission. Mission to bring people back to God. That's who we are. That's what we're created for. That's why we gather. You know, we had some great worship this morning. Thank you again, Matt and worship team, for leading us. Great worship songs and time. Is nothing in comparison to what it's going to be like in heaven. Amen. We're going to worship in heaven with freedom and I may even be able to sing, carry a tune when we get to heaven. I don't know, but what we have here, that's great. We're going to understand the scriptures in heaven like we've never understood them before. But there's one thing we can't do in heaven that we can do now, and that's bring people to Christ. Amen. This is our only opportunity. Now is the time. This is the mission that we have been sent on. You're those Navy SEALs going into the schools, going into the workplaces, going into the neighborhoods with the goal, with the task of finding those captives, sharing with them the gospel, and helping bring them from death to life. Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for the reminder of your love for people, our relatives, our neighbors, those that we go to school with. Lord, in spite of all their bad decisions and reckless choices and sinful ways, you love them. And you care for them. And you care for them so much that you sent Jesus to die for them. And Lord, you have sent us into their lives to help bring them back into right relationship with you. Give us wisdom this week. Give us boldness. Give us understanding as to what's going on behind the scenes and in the hearts of our friends and coworkers and relatives, God. Give us the boldness to be able to remind them of your love for them. Your love for them so much that Jesus died for them. God, I pray that you would keep us on mission. Keep us on task. Keep us on focus. Keep us seeking and saving that which is lost, which was the mission that you came for. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who is still living in that domain of darkness, is struggling, has lost fellowship, relationship with you because of sin, God, I pray that even this morning, as we've talked about your love, that you would draw them to yourself and save them and change their life, bring them from death into life. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Matt if he'd come forward and lead us in a time of lead us in a song of invitation. If you're here today and you are a believer, you are on mission with God. Amen? You are on a mission. And if during the message today God laid someone on your heart, I'd invite you to come. You don't have to talk to me. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can if you like, but I'd invite you to come maybe to the altar even this morning and just pray for that person. Pray for that opportunity to share God's love with them, to begin opening up conversations, to fight that spiritual battle that's going on in the heavenlies for their soul. Would you do that this morning? If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never turned from that, I'd love to share with you how you can be brought from death to life because of the love of Christ. Whatever and however He leads, you come this morning. Matt? I challenge you this week to be seeking and saving that which is lost. Be praying for, part of the spiritual battle, right? For those that are lost, that you work with, that you go to school with, that your relatives, pray for them. Pray for God's Spirit to create opportunities for you to invite them to church, for you to invite them to Bible study, for you to share the gospel with them yourself. Begin by praying, and then be obedient. Be looking for those opportunities to be on that mission of bringing people out of death into life, out of eternity separated from God into a place we like to sing about and talk about, a place called heaven. Amen? Any closing words, or did I miss anything? Would one of the deacons like to close us in prayer this morning? Mick, would you?
Lord, keep it in our hearts strong that we are you here, your witnesses, and we're your voice. Help us, Lord, to be courageous and just take any opportunity that we have that we can share your love with the lost person, Lord, that they might be freed from their chains and join us in heaven. Thank you for Brother Tim and those words and the worship service here. Go with us. Bring us back this evening safely now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.